Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله. That is, all unqualified praise is due to Allah, and after that, all unqualified praise is due to Allah. الحمد لله الذي أنزل علينا كتاب مبين. All praise is due to Allah who sent down upon us His book most clear. وكان أخر ما نزل من آياته اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمتي ورضيت لكم الإسلام الدين. That is, this day have I, Allah said, this day have I perfected for you your way of life, have completed my favor upon you, or better said, this day have I completed for you your way of life and have perfected my favor to you and have preferred for you al-Islam as your way of life. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله. We bear open and solemn testimony without hesitation, reservation, or embarrassment that there is no deity, no object of worship except Allah. له الملك. His is the kingdom. وله الحمد. To Him is due all unqualified praise. بيده الخير. In His hand is all good. وهو على كل شيء قدير. And He has power over all things. ونشهد أن سيدنا محمد عبده ورسوله. And we bear open and solemn testimony without hesitation, reservation, or embarrassment that our leader, Muhammad, to whom the Quran is revealed, is his slave, servant, and his messenger. Allahumma salli wa sallim wa barak ala Sayyidina Muhammad. O Allah, send your prayers, your peace, and your blessings upon our leader, Muhammad, wa ala ahlihi, and upon his family, wa sahbihi, and upon his companions, ajma'in, all of them. Wa ya ayyuhal muslimun, and to you, O Muslim, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah wa jumu'ah mubarak. Amma ba'd, a'uzu billahi min ash-shaytan rajim. Fa'akim wajahaka lid-dini hanifa, fitratallahi lati fatara an-nasa alayh. La tabdila li khalqi la. ذلك الدين قيما ولكن أكثر الناس لا يعلمون. And we say Allah the Mightiest has spoken the truth. An expression of this, the 30th verse or the 30th ayah of Surah 30, Surah Rum, chapter 30. So make it your commitment to be true to the deen, the way of life, Allah's handiwork, according to the pattern on which He has made mankind. No change let there be in the work of Allah That is the way of life, right and straight, but most among mankind understand it not. Allah the Mightiest has spoken the truth. Last week, this is part three of the subject, taqwa and the game of life. Taqwa and the game of life. And last week, we essentially the time was spent on some say unpacking or interpreting or explicating this verse. And so we'll just summarize that before moving to what's new today. So a translation says, so set your face steadily and truly to the deen. And we summarize that first by understanding deen means a complete way of life. This is what deen means. It means a complete way of life. We live in an environment, we live in a language world, English particularly, and the Western world also, that divide everything up into this compartment, this department, this category, that category. So we have the idea of separation of church and state, right? So it makes the separation between categories in our society. So Al-Islam is called a religion in that language, but Al-Islam is not a religion in that language. Al-Islam is a complete way of life, okay? So then the understanding is to make it your commitment to live that way of life without adding anything to it. فَأَكِمْ وَجَهَكَ لِدِينَ حَنِيفَ فِطْرَةَ اللَّهِ the next sentence. فِطْرَةَ اللَّهِ it is Allah's handiwork according to the pattern upon which he has made mankind. Also, deen also carries the meaning game of life for what we're speaking to. Be true to the game of life. Be true to the game of life. And then this sentence explains what is the game of life. The game of life is your original nature according to the way that it has been created by that creator, Allah. Fitratullahi, it's Allah's pattern, the origin from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that made you what you are in essence and who you are in essence. Be true to that. So obviously then it's something that we have to discover. Well, what is that truly? We're going to go further on that. So Allah explains what the deen is. The deen is Allah's handiwork according to the pattern on which he has made mankind. So the deen is your original nature. The deen is your original nature. I'm going to say parenthetically right here, brothers and sisters, you should know that whoever, you know, Shakespeare, Dostoevsky, who all the quote-unquote the literati of the West, all of the canonical famous books and authors and poems and poetry of the West, you know, and we're speaking in the context because that's where we are in the West, and the West has influenced most of the world. But the point is that entire universities, entire degrees, entire institutions, oh man, are based on just answering some of the questions that Al-Islam answers. Questions that have lasted among civilized society that have their different answers to them, but took them centuries to come to the answer that they came up with. And when I say centuries, in some cases it's 1,000 years, 2,000 years, and many of them they haven't figured out yet because we're in a world right now that is even confusing the issue. What I'm saying to you is that a part of this, أتممت عليكم نعمة, Allah says, I have completed my, I have perfected my graces upon you. What's so great about it? What's so perfect about it? Because what the world and its greatest minds and greatest spirits have worked for decades to come up with acceptable answers, and those acceptable answers have served to keep civilizations with some sense of order and keep them from crashing just on the strength of just an idea. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights, and among these, life, liberty, and pursuit of life. That's just one idea. That's just one idea. And America continues to struggle in its effort to realize what that idea is, and those ideas from those original framers and signers of the Declaration of Independence, they also were borrowing or taking from ideas that were hundreds of years before them. And the strength of America is resting upon an almost application of one idea. You can get your head around that. Oh, let's use this other example also. Okay, we hear about the Moors of Spain, right? And we hear about how long what they established lasted. Different numbers, 500, 600, 700 years. And that was when a group of human beings were practicing al-Islam in the way that al-Islam should be practiced at the civilizational level, all right? And the success of that Muslim establishment was because more of those sacred ideas were brought into reality during the life of that, I'll use the term dynasty, empire, however you want to say it. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you make it your commitment to be true to the deen, and when you understand that the deen is your original nature, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that that nature that is in you is the same nature that is in the nature of creation. It's in the order of creation. And I've given you a way of life such that you can have the best possible existence if you just follow what I have revealed and what I have preferred for you and given to you as a model in Muhammad. We haven't even gotten to that, but inshallah, we keep going. We will get to it in the course of it. So the question is answered, what is the deen? The deen is Allah's handiwork. What is Allah's handiwork? It's what is in you that is like what is in the creation. Allah's handiwork is what is in you like what is in the creation. Macrocosm, microcosm, all right? You are a small model of this universe. Be true to what's in you, and you'll also get the benefit of what's out there. Because I've given you what's out there as a gift for your life while you're living on earth. But you can't get the blessing out there until you qualify yourself to be able to abstract from it what it's communicating. The universe is telling you a way of being. The universe are ayah, the elements of the universe are teaching. They are instruction from God. They are telling you God's will. The sun is telling you God's will. The moon is telling you God's will. The stars are telling you, the animals, the plants, the elements, they're telling you Allah's will. This is why the first of the revelation of the last book, Quran, Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq. Read in the name of your guardian evolver who has created, who has given form to all this. This word is a big word. Inshallah, we'll say more about it. Going to Khalaq. He's the one that gave everything its form. And we'll repeat it later, but we'll say it now. In the form is the guidance. In the form is the guidance. Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq. Khalaq what? Arabic, khalaq. English, what? خلق what? What did he خلق? كل شيء. He خلقت everything. And so what's in everything? That which man was not before knowing. اقرأ وربك الأكرم. Read what? The creation. And what are you going to find out? You're going to find out that your Lord is most generous. How do we experience that generosity? What he taught by the pen. And by that pen, he taught what man was not before knowing. So this khalq in the nature of creation is also the khalq that's in us. And so we can go to the next line. It says, La tabdila li khalqillah. Sometimes I get excited, but I don't want to lose you, so I'm slow down just a little bit, because don't miss this. Allah says, commit yourself to the deen. Then he answers, what is the deen? It's what is in you that is like what is out there. And that's the answer to that. And then it says, God says, you have your khalq. There is that khalq. Now in this third part of this verse, it says, La tabdila li khalqillah. Don't change the form I put you in. Because if you change the form I put you in, you get disconnected from the universal order. You become unnatural. Hello? Hell is low. But I want you to know what you should read, what you should see. There's so many very clear examples of that. How many people have substituted the form they were born in for another form? Are they not unnatural? Yes, they are not. Are they disconnected? Yeah, you're disconnected. So nothing good can come from that. La tabdila li khalqillah. So that's the order to the one who's committed to the way of life that Allah has structured in the universe and structured in the individual. Allah said, La tabdila li khalqillah. Don't change that form. Because if you lose the form, you lose the guidance. The guidance is in the form. You change the form, you're disconnected from the guidance. We should understand that. And that's why we shouldn't worry about how big any unnatural substitute movement gets in the world. It doesn't matter. Because it is not Allah's will, it's not long for, quote unquote, this world. Now, it's on God's clock now. It may blow up, survive our deaths, et cetera, but trust this, nothing will be except what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered. And some things he leaves in order to try those who remain and to deprive those, to give more a rope in their trespasses so that Allah is fully justified in the crushing punishment that comes to them, whether it be in this world or in the life that comes hereafter. That's not our business. That's God's business. Our job is فَأَكِمْ وَجَهَكَ لِدِينِ حَنِيفًا. Let me keep my form straight. Let me follow the guidance in my form. Let me make sure I'm not substituting anything for what Allah has ordered in me. I do that, I'm fine. It's like Abdul Muttalib, the grandfather of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when Abraha took his camels, right? Abraha was coming to crush the Kaaba, but he had his people in front of him take like 200 camels or something from Abdul Muttalib, the Prophet's grandfather. The Prophet was born in that same year. In case, so he came to Abraha and said, look, man, you got my camels. And then he said, I'm here to tear down your sacred shrine. And you talking to me about camels? He said, the shrine belongs to Allah. The camels belong to me. So Allah's going to take care of his house. My job is to come get my camels, right? And we know the surah and the history tells us what happened in result of that. But let's go on. So what is the keeping that form and now qualifying it further for action? Because I want you to understand the actionable things. What are you supposed to do? not only are you not to change that form, not to substitute it, it's la tabdila. The Quran says ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ لَمْ يَقُوا مُغَيِّرًا. That Allah مُغَيِّرًا. So غَيِّر is talking about changing something. So it said don't change it. That's not what Allah said in this verse. لَا تَبْدِيلًا. لَا تَبْدِيلًا. He's saying don't substitute. Don't substitute. Okay? Don't think that, well, there's something just as good as what Allah has got me, so I'll just go this way. God said, don't substitute. Come on now. I don't know. Maybe there's some coffee drinkers in the house. Yeah. You know, you got, it's a particular kind of sugar. I know. Okay. I recognize it. But if you got a way that you put your morning Joe together, it's got to be right. Come on now. Be honest with yourself. It's got to be right. If it's tea, you know, there's a certain product that's going to give you the result that you're looking for. Don't substitute. If you substitute, it's not going to be the same thing. People who don't know about your particular, how can you say, taste, hey, well, it's coffee. It tastes good to me. No, but it's not where I want it to be. And this is what Allah is telling us. He's saying, don't substitute. What I give you, fa'akim wajahakan, you keep it that way. Don't change it. And then in that part of the note, ذَلِكَ دِينُ قَيِّمَا. This is our Lord, cherisher and sustainer. He's telling us. Listen, son. Listen, daughter. I'm talking like that because I know culturally we can get to it, right? Forget about it. Don't worry about it. I'm a Muslim, okay? So Allah is saying, I'm trying to give you, hey, yo, uncle, or your, it would be a blessing if your daddy did it, but it's kind of rare for daddies to really sit. Mashallah, Allah, let me speak for myself. I can't, and God rest his soul. But there's not a phrase, a quote, a proverb, a story I can say my daddy told me. I can't, I remember one day my daddy, I can remember a whooping or two, but I don't remember no proverbs, no axioms, no wisdom, no scripture. No, and I'm not mad. And let me go ahead and cover that. So, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "You will not be able to repay your father unless you were to find him as a slave and then set him free." So sometimes, you know, we don't know what our daddy did for us. But hell, just living long enough to keep a roof over your head—that was a hell of a task, depending on how old they were and where they were living and where they were trying to do it. So let's don't throw pop to the curb. Think, oh, man, okay, man. No, don't do that. Wrong move. Because it was something that he did that got you here at this moment right now. If whether you know what it was or he know what it was or you don't know or he don't know, for sure, if you are here, he did something that made that possible. I got to get away from that. My message is, this is Allah talking to us. This is Allah talking to us about the life that you have a little bit of it left. Think about my young man right there. Okay, I can't see that far, but I can think about young people at the beginning of life. I'm sure this young man is at least 60 years younger than me. Right? And so 60 years from now, inshallah, Allahu alam, Allah willing, he'll be 60. I'm using the number 68 years old right now, 69. Sorry if I didn't get the numbers right, young man. But There are things, important things, that take a very long time to come to understand. It takes a long time. There's some of the things, there's some of us in here that we heard 30 years ago and we don't understand them yet. Some things we heard 20 years ago, we don't understand them yet. Some things we heard 40 years ago and we just recently got a useful understanding of it. Young people. I see a young lady back there too. Young people. Don't let the world cheat you by saying, oh, they old, they don't know nothing. Every generation gets cheated like that. I can remember in my generation, I know we shared it for some old man territory, but hey, it is what it is. I'm going to try to do, by the grace of Allah, something, give you a moment, might grip you in some kind of way to have you to remember it, that that man was talking to me. That man was talking about me and things that he was saying to me and about me. I'm going to remember that. And it's this. When I was a quote-unquote a teen of the 60s, right? And they came with that idea, don't trust nobody over 30. If they don't trust nobody over 30. If they're over 30, don't even pay no attention to them. Young people, I want you to understand, even if you don't understand the devil right now, that is Satan. That's the devil. Why? Because he doesn't want you listening to the older people. He doesn't want you listening to the older people, especially those who have had victories over him. Those who have had victories over him, he don't want you listening to them. And it is people like myself and people who you experience in positions like this that invite you to a better way of being. These are people who have had victories over the devil. They have defeated the devil in their lives. And having done so, at least for in that moment, because sometimes, you know, it's a battle that's not the whole war. But the point is that when you have an opportunity to get something from older people, you're getting the benefit of something that is not going to really come as a value for you sometimes after you finish high school, after you finish college. It's very, very important. So the point is that nowadays we're in a situation where the young people are saying, yeah, no, don't trust nobody over 40, or whatever. And they have different languages that's used. But the point is that they are trying to cut you off. And I'm saying for all of us, what Allah is giving us and what Allah has given us the answers to the age-old question, not just what an individual takes years to understand, but what took civilizations thousands of years to arrive at as understanding, and then they formalized it in myths. They formalized it in rituals. They formalized it in the cultures that they established exuded those values. I'm going to cut this portion of khutbah and make this point. So you heard it before, but I want to say it again. China. I remember being in a Chinese restaurant, and what caught my attention was the pattern of imagery that was in the wall, that was in the wallpaper, pattern of imagery that was on the plate, pattern of imagery that was on the carpet, patterns of imagery that was on the napkin. Then I looked and I kept looking, and I'm just in some of the sweat. I'm not doing nothing else right now. Then I came to understand all those patterns that look like Chinese ideograms. That's their lettering, the ideogram. It was an ant. It was a repeated, reiterated, and. But if you didn't know or take that look at it, you would just think, oh, that's Chinese writing. It's just saying something in Chinese. No, it's saying something to the Chinese. Be like ants. That's what the wallpaper was emitting. The pattern on the plates was emitting. The pattern on the rug was emitting. The pattern on the napkin was emitting. Be like ants. Be like ants. Be like ants. Are they not like ants? And if you look, and the Bible told the Western man that, says, study the ant, O sluggard, and become wise. Well, they took that, whether they got it from them or not, is more than likely from the study, because their civilization is much older than the quote-unquote Western civilization. So they got it from nature before they got it from the West. They learned the lesson, and they, instantiated that lesson, meaning that they established memorials, they established rituals, they established books, they created a womb where that message is constantly being sent out. And as acculturation, they began to become like ants. Go to Chinatown and think about ants. Just go to Chinatown and think about ants. Think about ants. What do you see the ants doing? Ants. They're following. And then the ants. You know, do you know that ants stop and say hello to each other? They stop. Tickle antennas and they go on with it. You try to figure out, how the hell that ant get way up here from wherever? Well, I don't even know where they are, but there's one. And if you leave them alone, rest of the family going to be there soon. The tribe is going to be there soon. Why? Because they lay down a chemical path. And all the rest of the ants, all they do is just follow the chemical path that's laid out by the scout or the one that went before. So they share with it. They don't find something and then say, hey, this is for me. See, I ain't going to tell nobody about this right here. That's not ant behavior. And behavior says, this is too much for just me. I need to go get the rest of my folks for them to be able to come and get what we have, right? So the idea is that, and that's just one sign, just one sign from nature. So let us simply understand that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that we have to actualize our original nature, then he's telling us the favor that I've given you, the favor that's done in you, that's the way that you're going to have the best life. Stop guessing. Stop looking around. Maybe I can find a better book. Maybe I can find a better speaker. Maybe I can find a better way of doing things. No, there is nothing better than what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered. رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسْنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسْنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ آمين 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 الله أكبر بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. So ذَلِكَ الدِّينُ قَيِّمًا. That is the way of life, right and straight. That is the way of life, right and straight. But most among mankind don't know. The few minutes that I just took saying what I'm saying to you, and I'm really speaking to you in that way, I'm imploring you to take a look at history, civilization. Look at what it took for any civilization to get to where it was. And when you do you don't have to take a college course on anything like that. You can probably find one article somewhere online and just put in the question. You know, how long does it take for a major civilization to develop? Whatever. Just put that in and look at it. And what you say is like, let's say if you looked at the Greek civilization, Roman civilization, Chinese civilization, Egyptian civilization, and then you just look at, well, what was the length and the life of each one of those civilizations? What you're going to find, tens of thousands of years were involved with getting to where they were, right? You can talk about something that lasted for a long time,
But most times we don't go back to look at how did they get there. Do you understand that there would be no civilization if the human being did not have the realization of his God-given potential? When I say his, you know, it includes male and female. Before man had language, he didn't have civilization. Before man had the alphabet, he didn't have civilization in that, in the sense that we speak of and we think of now. With Al-Islam, Allah, if we are believers, with Al-Islam, God is saying, you don't have to do all that work. I'm favoring you. And listen, this is Allah's favor. God is saying, look, just believe what I tell you. Read it, understand it, believe it, apply it. You know that cultural phrase that said, you can't lose with the stuff I use? That's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us. You can't lose with the stuff I use. The Quran, the verse starts, that Surah Al-Mu'minun, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. The believers are already successful. Don't run past that word, belief. Listen. There's a whole world of people out there that believe the election was stolen. Oh, yeah, brother, I'm kind of with that. Okay. Be there if you may. Allahu Akbar. Right? But what I want you to understand, there's a storyline that goes along with that. Part of the anecdote is, you can't believe how many dead people voted for Biden. Right. And that's the narrative that's been latched onto. And there's a song that says, what a fool believes, no wise man has the power to reason away. Doesn't matter how wise you are, once somebody believes something, you can't shake it. Come on, Yaqub's history. Come on now. Could somebody shake you off that Yaqub's history? No. It's like we believed the deportation of the moon. We believed that the white man was made on the island of Palan or Patmos. It's right there in the Bible. We believe that the mothership is out there, and it comes in ever so often just to get some oxygen, and then it goes back out. We believe that when the end comes, there's going to be 1,500 bombing planes, and they're going to drop the bomb and go drill a mile into the earth and blow up, and it's going to burn for 690 years and take 310 years to cool off. We believe it. You can't come to us and talk to us about, oh, y'all crazy cult black people. No, man, you just under the devil's influence. We believe. And what did we do with that belief? Call it false belief. But did we believe? And what was done on the basis of that false belief? Has it really been matched per se? I mean, I have to take you to another conversation to say that, yeah, it has been outstripped, but not in the centralized way that you're thinking. But I'm not trying to get all off into that. I'm trying to get us to understand the power of belief. Look up this piece called The Partisan and the Stranger. Look it up. The Partisan and the Stranger. I'm not gonna go into it. The briefest way that I can say is like, listen, you're fighting for a cause. So that makes you a partisan I'm part of it, whether you're Democrat, Republican, whatever, don't matter. Muslim, Christian, whatever. So you're part, you believe that. So then here comes a stranger. You never met him before. And then they tell you that they're working for the same cause that you're working for. You never met them. And so you embrace them as one of your partisans. And so now they're telling you they're on a special mission, right? And so they do things that contradict what you say you believe in, what they say they believe in. But they've convinced you that they are to be trusted as a part of your tribe, whatever, army, whatever. As long as you believe that, then that person can do so many things that contradict what you say you believe, and you still won't check them. Because you believe that, well, it must have some other reason other than that, and I trust them, I believe that they're right, blah, blah, blah. So in that way, your belief is playing against you. Brother and sister, there's so much potential that's in you that's not going to come out until you believe it's there. It's not going to come out until you believe it's there. This is real. Now, we're talking about what Allah said. Let's just kind of hear it again. It doesn't matter that it's redundant. It's very important. Allah, who is Allah? Firstly, you've got to believe that Allah is the real, the God, the creator that created everything and everybody. That one is the one who revealed the Quran to Muhammad. That one. And to take a little side note real quick, it's like, the Quran is proof that Allah is real. I don't think we understand that. Anybody who has been, an administrator of an estate, for example, and you have to open up an account for the deceased. You go to the bank, I'm going to open up the account. Okay, well, where's your paperwork? Then you show them the paperwork, and it's a copy of the official document. They go, oh, no, we can't use that. We need the original with the raised stamp, the government seal, except we need that. And when we get that, now we can talk about whatever it is you want to talk about. But until you got that, we can't do nothing. The Quran is the proof of the reality of the creator of the sun, moon, and stars. Look, I'm going to stay with this. You know, this creation is your inheritance. I got my clock. My clock says about 7 minutes, and I said it so I would finish early in general. So the only ones complaining is the one who's already been here. They're the only ones that will have a right. Some of y'all, you got it. Let's move on. So I need a will. Okay, a will. Let's say you got a rich uncle or a rich auntie or rich grandma. You choose the one you want. You know they had money, assets, and you know they love you. No matter what was happening, when you show up at the house, the whole family can be gathered around grandma, grandpa, uncle. But they get right up and stop whatever they're doing and say, hey, sugar. How you doing, baby? Oh, goody. Come on, sit right here, Papa. Sit right here, my big mama. Yeah, yeah. Now, what were we saying? Look, you're sitting there. Come on with it. And then big mama and Papa, they die. Rich. And they leave a will. And then somebody tell you, well, she didn't leave you nothing. Do you believe that? Y'all know what you say. Oh, hell no.
Right?
No. Every family reunion, she bought me a special gift, cooked me that special cake, knew what I liked, and you're going to tell me when she died after taking the time to make a will, she don't leave nothing for me? Somebody lying up in here. So somebody presents a will. Well, this is her will right here. You can read it right there for yourself. And then you have your folks. I'm going to assume you don't know the kind of deal, but you have your folks to look at it and say, no, this couldn't be her will, because look at the date and the signature, and da, 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 it doesn't match up with this. Nah, that's bogus. And then somebody comes from the back of the room, hey, look, we just found this in the trunk up in the attic. Here's the will. And then they look at it, bona fide, stamped, assured credibility. So it's like, now we can talk about it. Open it up. Read it. Trying to make the point that the Quran is the bona fide will of Allah. The Quran is the bona fide will of the creator of the heavens and the earth. And in his will, he said, I've given you two gardens. That's the garden of your own excellence and the garden of the universe itself. That's my will. I don't need it, Allah. I don't need it. What do you think? I created this for me? I don't need this. And look at where you live. You live in a speck, on a speck. If the airplane goes up 10,000 feet, can't even see you. That's 10,000 feet. Don't let it go out into some kind of orbit. You disappear. Go out further, the earth disappears. You haven't even got outside the galaxy. I heard it say about Jesus. Jesus, he went up into the heavens, whole body and soul. He said, listen, if he was traveling at the speed of light for 2,000 years, he haven't even gotten out of the Milky Way. So how are you going to be in heaven if heaven is beyond the galaxy that we live in? All right? Listen, the point is that all of this belongs to us. But my comment started with, do you believe it? Because if you don't believe it, you're waiting for the White House to write another check. Or you think you don't have no hope. Listen, man, they don't write that check, man. I don't know what's going to happen. Oh, my goodness. When you have a will from the creator and the owner of everything, and you worry about provision, that same will says, there's not a creature that goes out in the morning that does not have their fill, but before they come back at night. Meaning Allah takes care of everybody and everything in creation. And of all that I'm saying, what I'm saying so far, believe it or not, is superficial relative to what's possible for us. Because that same Lord has endowed you with a gift that if you haven't unwrapped it yet, you have not fully benefited from your existence. Allah gave you. He was gifted when you were created. You were gifted when you came into the creation. You were gifted when you came alive in this environment. And then Allah reveals, he blesses you. Come on, think about some of your partners. I know some of you, we have partners. Yeah, you know what? I used to run with so-and-so, blah, blah, blah. Man, he died, man. He died. He was on one of them other things right there. You know, it's like, shoot, I was right there with him, man. But that night, I didn't roll with him. And you know, it just so happened, the following week, I went to the temple. I'm going to put it back in time. Finally, I went to the temple. Man, I've been on that Muslim. I've been Muslim ever since. Who's that? You think it's because you're so smart? the will of God says, that Quran, the will of God says, and they count their accepting al-Islam as a favor to God. He said, no. Allah has done you a favor in that he has guided you to al-Islam. In kuntum sadiqun, if you are sincere. See, now, if you play in your own game, well, you ain't even in al-Islam yet. And Allah is the one who bizayti sudur. A'alimu bizayti sudur. Allah knows what possessions are in the heart. You can fool me. You can't fool Allah. You can look real good to me. You can look most dishonest. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know. So, to conclude, brothers and sisters, this favor that Allah has given us, the game of life is to play it the way Allah has ordered it. Play it the way Allah has ordered it, right? And that's what comes. That comes much more as we proceed down the road on this. And as that final verse, again, I guess this is just a reinforcement of 30-30, but most among mankind understand it not. وَلَّكِنَ أَكْثَرُ النَّاسِ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. Brothers and sisters, just so very important. Appreciate the favor that Allah has. Don't get arrogant about being a Muslim. I mean, period. Don't be arrogant about being a Muslim. Because you may wind up over there being like, I'm saved. You got that kind of attitude, you're back to the church mindset. I'm good, as long as I'm Muslim. No, you have work to do. And the work for God that you're supposed to do, that is the work that God created you to do with the life that you have, as brief as it is on this planet. God gifted you with a tool for the improvement of something in the world. But you have to bring that gift. You have to bring it out, and you have to put it to use. So I want you to ask yourself, have I found my gift, and am I using it for Allah's will? Have I found my, because God didn't leave anybody empty. Forget the caste system. Nobody empty. Allah gave you a gift, which it is only in you. It's too much for people to think about. Because you are you, and because the Creator created you, and because Allah don't run out of ideas. Allah don't run out of gifts. He has given each one of us something that nobody else has. But he's obligated all of us, but you got to bring it out yourself. But I'm going to do you a favor, Allah. I'm going to do you a favor. Here's a way of life that guarantees the growth of your gift. Do you believe it? رَبَّنَا لَا تَزِغْ قُلُوبَنَا بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا وَهَبْ لَنَا مِن لَّدُنكَ رَحْمَةً إِنَّكَ أَنتَ الْوَهَّابُ. أَلَهُ وَمَلَائِكَتُهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. اللهم صل الله محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. Allah, we thank you for your graces. We thank you for your blessings. We thank you for creating us. We thank you for the creation. We thank you for favoring us to come to the door of al-Islam. O Allah, purify our hearts, purify our intention, purify our worship. O Allah, bless us to be sincere. Bless us to be believers wholeheartedly, without doubt, in you. O Allah, remove from our hearts any false idea, any false beliefs, any misperceptions, any misunderstanding. O Allah, protect us from misguidance.
especially the misguidance of our own souls. Oh Allah, protect us from the wiles of shaitan. Oh Allah, bless us to follow the straight path and not the footsteps of the devil. We beg this of you only for none can grant and withhold this but you. Ameen, Allahumma ameen. Wa alaykum as-salam. لا إله إلا الله سيدنا محمد رسول الله استوى استقيم يهامكم الله الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين ألم نشرح لك صدرك ووضعنا عنك وزرك الذي أنقض ظهرك ورفعنا لك ذكرك فإن مع العسر يسرا فإذا فرغت فانصب وإلا ربك فارغب الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين والتين والزيتون وطور سنين وهذا البلد الأمين لقد خلقنا الإنسان في أحسن التقويم ثم رددناه أسفل سافلين إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات فلهم أجر غير ممنون فما يكذبك بعد بدين أليس الله بأحكم الحاكمين الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله الفاتحة بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين تقبل الله الحمد لله So if you're going to be leaving, it's okay. I'm going to make a couple of announcements. First, alhamdulillah, acknowledge the birthday. Omar reached out to Isaac Law, September 30th, that's yesterday. Alhamdulillah. Also, New African Kitchen is going to present on the second Friday of the month, starting next week. Soulful family meals. So it's going to be fried whiting, potato salad, and tossed salad. That's going to be, this time it's going to be the 8th, but on all the following months it's going to be on the first weekend. And inshallah, others may be joining to do the second weekend. Also, we are still looking forward to your participation, your involvement with the Hifaz Board Game Tournament. It has a $500 prize, October 30th. That is the birthday of Imam Muhammad, rahimahullah alayh. So, inshallah, I hope you... Do we have a sign-up sheet for that, or what do we have? Okay. So details are coming, inshallah. Our condolences to the family of Anita Shahid, family of her brother. Passion is live in Alilahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Alhamdulillah, may Allah forgive me shortcomings and grant me entry into paradise. Here, Sister Fatiha, right? She is in hospice, I should just say that. Inshallah, she's still with us, so we'll keep her in our dua as well. Also, we got good news on Saifullah Ra'i. His diagnosis after chemo was a positive one. And alhamdulillah, a few months after that, I hope my sister doesn't mind me giving a little detail. So he concluded 5-day radiation treatment, had no side effects like headache, nausea, blurred vision, or feeling tired. And so the team wants to see him in a month or so to follow up on the possible side effects. And otherwise, he's had to return in 6 months and take an MRI. But alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, it is good. And another bit of good news, we have Sister Isabella and Brother Mikael. They wasn't expecting me to do this, but I'm putting them on blast anyway. They renewed their marriage vows. Alhamdulillah. Isabella is right back there. Brother Mikael is right here. Alhamdulillah. Allahu Akbar. Congratulations to them. And I think that's it. Amina, am I missing anything else? The yard sale. Yard sale happening tomorrow also. And inshallah, be there to help set up, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum. Alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum. How's it? How's my brother? Good to see you, man. Got it? Well, how's it going, Steve? How's it going, man? Allahu Akbar. You're a survivor, too, huh? Allahu Akbar. May Allah continue to make it so. Alhamdulillah.
Thank you.